Jeremiah chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1, a trip to the potter's house. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We'll read the first six verses of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God, the preaching, the teaching of your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that this the word of God would go forward to help us. Lord, our hearts would be open to receive it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to use your imaginations for just a second. If you had to spend one day of your life, and you were not allowed to use any of the variety of containers that we are so used to using on a daily basis, what would our lives be like? We use plastic milk jugs and water jugs and glass jars and all kinds of plastic containers of all sorts, cotton and canvas bags, wooden and cardboard boxes, large and small. You know, we don't think twice about what a benefit those things are to us. But now let's get in a time machine and go back to biblical times, especially Old Testament times. They had one main kind of container that served a multitude of purposes, and that container was some type, some fashion of a clay jar or a clay pot. If you had a variety of different needs, you simply made or purchased a variety of different sized clay jars or clay pots for that need. Everything was clay. Some were more fancy than others, some were more common, but they're all made of the same stuff, dirt and water. Or more accurately, clay and water. It's no wonder the potter clay image shows up so frequently in the scripture. Think all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Human beings represent the first examples of God's skill as the divine potter, but the image continues all through the scriptures. I'll just mention a few. In the midst of his agony, Job reminded God, wow, amen. Getting off to a good start here, amen. Job reminded God that he had molded Job like clay. Why would God now destroy what he had made? Isaiah rebuked Israel for thinking that she, the clay, knew more than the potter in Isaiah 29 and Isaiah 45. Jeremiah lamented that Israel, once worth their weight in gold, had reduced themselves to mere pots of clay in Lamentations chapter 4. Then the image of God as judge throughout the scriptures often pictured as in terms of God picking up a pot and smashing it to the ground. Psalms 2, Jeremiah 19, Revelations chapter 2. The dominant theme in the scriptures, folks, is a simple one. Watch this. God is the potter. Humanity is the clay. God is the potter. Humanity is the clay. In 1902, a 42-year-old woman, single woman, sat in a prayer meeting with a broken heart. She'd served the Lord faithfully all her adult life in various capacities, but her dream of dreams, her heart's desire, was to take the gospel to Africa as a missionary. Finally, her plans seemed like they were about to be fulfilled, but at the last moment, her dream evaporated like a mist because she had not been able to raise the sufficient funds. God simply closed the door. She sat in that service heartbroken. as she attended the prayer meeting at her church. She was hardly able to focus on what was going on around her. She was struck by the words of an elderly woman in the church who prayed beside her. And this is what she prayed. It really doesn't matter what you do with this, Lord. Just that you have your own way with our lives. She couldn't get that idea out of her mind as later that night she sat meditating on Jeremiah and the story of the God being the potter and Israel being the clay. And before she could sleep, Adelaide Pollard took out a pen and wrote out all four stanzas of the now beloved hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Published it in 1907. Here's part of it. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. In Jeremiah's image of a divine potter in the clay, one particular thing caught the attention of this songwriter. The potter saw a blemish in the clay. Are you listening to this? He saw a blemish in the clay he was using, so he took time to reshape the pot again. And Adelaide realized that for whatever reason, God had postponed his will for her life. Was it because there was something in her life he needed to more carefully refine before he let her do what she so badly wanted to do? She was willing to yield herself to the potter's hand. By the way, she did eventually get to go to Africa as a missionary. But watch this. It was in God's time, not hers, when God saw that she was ready, not when she thought she was ready. Isn't that good? We're going to take a trip to the potter's house. I read this portion of scripture, felt very impressed that we ought to preach on this subject, but I thought how much better, how much more prepared I would be if I went on my computer and watched several videos. I just muted them and watched it happen. And I watched people that were skilled as potters take a lump of clay and turn it into a vessel. And I just sat there and watched that and scratched down notes. And I'm going to share what I think God wanted Jeremiah to see. And let me share with you the things that I saw and the things that I observed. Number one, the clay must be salvaged from this world and placed in the hands of the potter. The clay must be salvaged from this world and placed in the hands of the potter. Folks, listen to me. Before that clay can ever be placed on the wheel and turned into a vessel, somebody had to go out. And they usually go along the creeks, the rivers, and they go into these areas where clay has built up, and somebody's got to reach in there, and they've got to get that clay out of the earth, and they've got to make that clay theirs, and they've got to take that clay from where it was to where the master wants it to be. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you what God did. He reached down and he took a hold of your life, and he separated you from the miry clay of this world and made you his own. The difference between you and the world at the time of your salvation is this. Watch it. Not a whole lot, except once you were the world's and now you're his. How about that? That's what prompted David to write, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And as I read that, I could imagine the potter pulling that clay out. And then he came over and he set it on the wheel. That wheel is literally made of a rock substance. Set it on the rock. But listen to me, folks. You know what? When somebody first gets saved from where you brought them to where you placed them, there's not a whole lot of changes outwardly, but there's the beginning of a drastic change that will take place, that will go forward. So I wrote that down. I also wrote this down. Number two, in order to become the vessel that God wants you to be, you have to be properly centered on the wheel. Properly centered on the wheel. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. These potters took a lot of time and made great emphasis about the position of the clay on the wheel. You see that wheel, once it starts spinning, if it's off a little bit to the left, if it's off a little bit to the right, if it's not right in the center of the wheel, They even showed an example of this. One of the men literally took it and just set it off just less than an inch off center. And he began to try to form that clay. And as he tried to turn that lump of clay into a vessel, he would get it up so far and it would begin to tear and self-destruct. Listen, folks, could I just remind all of us that if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to center our lives around and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to be to find the center of God's will for our life. This wheel will start to spin, and he'll begin to use both of his hands to start the molding and shaping process, but it's got to be in the center if he's able to mold it. It's got to be properly centered in the middle of the wheel, or he'll not be able to work with it. Listen, folks, how important it is each and every one of us to find the perfect will of God for our lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, by the way, that you could use the word molded there. Be not conformed or molded to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we discover? How do we find? How do we prove what God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for each of our lives? We do so when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. When we decide that we're not going to let the world put us on their will and conform it to their image, but we let God put it on his will and conform us to the image of his Son. So number one, the clay must be salvaged from this world, placed in the hands of the potter. Thank God for the day I got saved. You know what? What were you? You're just a bunch of dirt. I mean, I was just a lump of clay. And you know what? God put me in the center of his will. And he did so because he wants me there so he can form me and make me into what he wants me to be. Well, this is so important. And again, one of the things I watched as I watched these videos was the use of water in the process. God needs the word in us before he can start the shaping or sanctification process. The first thing I noticed that as you watch a potter do this, begin to work with the lump of clay, is that he uses a lot of water. First of all, he's got to get water into the clay. He's got to saturate it into the lump of clay. If it's too dry, it won't work. So that lump has to be saturated. I mean, it's got to get all the way through it, folks. And you know what's the most important thing to do as a newborn Christian is just to begin the saturation process. Say, preacher, I don't even know what's next, and I'm not sure what God wants next. Just get into the Word of God. Just, you know what he wants? He wants you to come to church on Sunday for Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. He wants you to open your Bible, as I taught our young adult class, and challenge them again every single day. Get into the Word of God. Schedule it into your life. Every time you spend time in the Word of God, it saturates. You know, the Bible refers to itself as water. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And when he does that, what happens? That he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And folks, that lump of clay has got to be properly saturated, and saturated with the water of the Word. And when it gets the right consistency and the Word of God has integrated it, all of a sudden it becomes very easy for the potter to begin to shape the clay. And let me again challenge all of our church. Hey, you know what? Let's spend time in the Bible in 2019. Let's read our Bibles in 2019. Let's be faithful to church in 2019. Let's saturate our lives with the Word of God. Young people that are in our Christian school, listen, don't slack on this idea of doing your Bible memorization. As you're out in Master's Club and they're challenging you to memorize the Word of God, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. And I saw them constantly, every time that they would touch, and by the way, not only did they have it saturated, when they began to work it, they had two bowls, most of them had two bowls of water, one on the right, one on the left. And they'd touch that stuff for a while, and then they'd put their hands back in the water. And then they'd touch it for a while, sometimes they'd take a rag and they'd completely saturate the rag in the water and they'd hold that rag. But you know what? That thing was not going to form without the help of the water. And folks, listen to me. There's going to be a lot of people that want to mold your life and handle your life and touch your life and change your life. You better make sure that between their hands and between you is the Word of God. Listen, don't let people with dry hands mold you and try to make you into what you ought to be. Make sure that they're saturated with the Word of God. Number four, the thing I noticed this is I kind of had this image in my head that once they put that on there, man, that would really spin, you know, and I was really kind of surprised at how slow and yet steady that wheel spun. You know, folks, sanctification is a slow, steady, and progressive process. I noticed that that electric wheel, as it began to be used in the molding of the pot, that it didn't go real fast. Matter of fact, one of the guys explained that if it goes too fast, you're going to tear it apart. You're not going to be able to form it properly. And you know what? I noticed it takes time. It takes time. James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Nothing. Just as a good potter has to take his time when molding and forming out the pieces of pottery as it is spinning on the wheel, in the same way, folks, listen, God takes his time molding and shaping and transforming all of us. He does it in a slow, steady manner. We teach our children this song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Need to Be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. How about that? Be patient. Let me say this. Be patient with yourself. Oh, preacher, sometimes I just get so frustrated. I just feel like I'm not growing as I ought to grow. Things aren't happening the way I feel like they need to happen in my life. And I don't know. I just wish things would go faster. I just wish things would go quicker in my life. And I, you know what? You know what? We call it growth in grace. Growth in grace. You know that there's young people that actually are afflicted with some kind of a disease, an abnormality, where their bodies and their bones grow faster than they should grow. And you know what? Those young people, when they get of proper age and height, always spend the rest of their life battling the effects, watch this, of growing too quickly. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know what? Let's not question the Lord. He knows what we need to do. They say, preacher, what should my goals be in 2019? Just wherever you're at in your Christian life, take the next step. Just take the next step. But I want to get there. Well, you know what? You'll get there if you'll just take the next step. And once you get that area of your life solidified and the Holy Spirit gives you the green light and God challenges you in a new area, then take another step. And you know what I've been doing, folks, for the last 50 plus years of my Christian life, I've just lived it a step at a time, a day at a time. Listen, be patient with yourself. I want to also ask all of us to do this. Let's be patient with each other, all right? In a congregation this size, there's going to be people that aren't as far advanced as you are in your Christian life. Hey, take the time when you see them to remember where you came from. It's okay. Be patient with them. You know what they need? They need your understanding. They need your love. They need your long-suffering. They need your patience. There may be somebody that's more advanced than you. Hey, don't let jealousy and envy come into your heart. You know what? Just understand that if you'll continue down the path, God in his time will make you into who he wants you to be. And so let's be patient with ourselves. Let's be patient with others. But you know what? That clay didn't turn into that vessel, that final product, in a matter of minutes. It was a long process. And one of the things I noticed was the patience of the potter. You know what? I thought about this too. Boy, if we'll let God get us out of that creek bed, make us his own, and we'll allow ourselves to be put in the center of the wheel, and we are patient and just allow God to begin to form us and transform us, Do you know one of the great things about that entire process is that we're always in the hands of the potter. We're always in the hands of the potter. As I guess of all the things I watched, and for a while I did, I just muted it and watched it for a while, but of all the things that I watched, I was fascinated at the skill of the hands of the potter. And he'd wet his hands with water, and sometimes he'd pick up this tool and use it to shape a little bit, and sometimes he'd pick up a knife and begin to cut away the excess along the bottom and take that off of there, and sometimes he would begin to work on the inside a little bit, and then sometimes he'd work on the outside a little bit, and you know what, folks, could you get this? I mean, I want you to understand something. God's hand molding you and making you started in your mother's womb. God's hands has always been involved in forming you. Say, where do you get that, preacher? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Young ladies, let me just encourage you, and don't get off of these magazines, these teen magazines. Stop following these Hollywood people, and stop being infatuated with this person and the way they look, and jealous because of this person and the way they look. You know what? God never has made any junk, and God's never made any mistakes, and he formed you in your mother's womb, and he formed you the way he wanted you to be, and to become critical of yourself is to become critical of your maker. You know what? I see a lot of young ladies and some young men that are just torn up with insecurity because they don't feel like they measure up. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't make a mistake. He made you the way he wanted you to be. And so he's busy. I kept watching those hands. And they how lightly they would touch it and how carefully they would mold it. And they knew when to press and they knew when to back off. They knew when to put some more pressure. And folks, listen to me. I'm glad to be in the hands of God. I don't always understand what his hands are doing in my life, but I trust him. I'm glad I'm in his hands. I'm glad he's making the decisions. I was reading through the Bible, just chasing around this little phrase about the idea of the hand of the Lord being upon somebody. And I thought, what a blessing. There's no better place to be than in the loving hands of the Lord. It said of John the Baptist that the hand of the Lord was with him. I want to live my life in such a way so that the good hand of God is with me. It said of Elijah that he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Young men, let me tell you this. Whatever price you have to pay in your life to keep God's good hand upon your life, you pay that price. Because you know what? You don't want to live your life without the good hand of the Lord upon you. Replacement, Elisha, said this, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon me. And you know what? When Elisha wanted God's good hand to come upon him, he needed the touch of God. You know what he did? He called for somebody that would play music, and he had them come. And let me tell you something. The right kind of Christian music and you falling in love with the right kind of Christian music, it does something to put the hand of God upon your life. How about that? Ezra, the Bible said that he went up from Babylon, and the Bible says, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Ezekiel, more than any other person in the Bible, it said of Ezekiel that the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. Boy, that's a whole study. I'm going to go back and chase that all the way through and find out what Ezekiel did so that God's hand remained on him with the consistency and the power that was upon him. Folks, that's not just Old Testament talk. In Acts chapter 11, let me read to you some New Testament verses. And some of them were men of Cyrus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Listen, folks, I don't know what the world's offering you, but nothing it has to offer is worth you losing the hand of God upon your life. If God's hand's upon you, then you are blessed. Let him mold you. Trust him. what the potter does first is the lump of clay. I'm going to just kind of have you picture this in your process. Here you got this big lump of clay. And one of the things the potter first does as the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel is to take his hand and push it down on the top in the center of the clay just to create an opening. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times when God begins to work on our life, at first, he does not lift us up. At first, he pushes us down. You know why? Because without humility, God cannot use you and God cannot use me. You take the book of Proverbs. I challenge you to do it. You look up the three words, pride, proud, and proudly. And you study every verse in Proverbs and what it says about that particular trait. And you know what you'll find out? That God hates the sin of pride. More people have sacrificed the good hand of God upon them because they begin to try to raise their self up. Folks, listen to me. God's not interested in you raising yourself up. He's interested in you lifting Jesus Christ up. Wasn't it John the Baptist that said, he must increase and I must decrease. So he starts out by taking his hands and putting in the middle of that lump of clay and that thing's spinning. As he begins to push down, all of a sudden you know what he's trying to do? Watch this. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get into the center of that lump. He's trying to get inside of that lump. Folks, he cannot change the outside until he puts his hand in the inside. I begin to watch this. He's ignoring the outside of the lump. He's not really doing much with the outside of the lump. He's pushing down and getting to the inside of the lump. And I began to think about that. I thought to myself, you know what? God knows what he's doing when he shapes us. The potter's hand goes down deep into the middle of the clay as it is forming outward. He then uses his hands to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up during the spinning process. What's interesting, as the clay lets the hands of the potter push it down, an amazing thing happens. It begins to rise up. It's just amazing when you think if we'll let God put into our lives a humility and we'll let God get us to understand that it's not about us. You know what? The Bible says that if we abase ourselves, he'll exalt us. But if we exalt ourselves, he'll abase us. And when that clay began to let that potter push down, some things begin to happen. And then I seen the hand of the potter and it got right down into the center of that. And then simultaneously, the hands of the potter switches. And I love this. Because some people say to you, well, it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. God sees the heart. And that's all that matters. Let me tell you what happens then. That potter leaves one hand inside of that lump of clay because he's always working on the inside. He takes the other hand and he begins to form the outside. And you know what, folks? As he forms and changes the inside, it changes the outside. God's working with one hand on the inside, one hand on the outside. They're moving together simultaneously to make that vessel into what it ought to be, both inside, watch this, and outside. There ought to be a transformation and a change in your life when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things. So he begins to work on the inside. He begins to work on the outside. God is doing that in your life and in my life right here today. He did it this week. Some things he does inside of Jerry Ross because I need that part of my life formed. But you know what? Everything that begins to happen on the inside eventually begins to show on the outside also. The potter molds us and shapes us. He uses pressure, folks. He's pushing. He's using pressure. And you know what? Sometimes as a lump of clay, we don't know what God's doing. God, why have you allowed this to come into my life? Why do I have to live under the pressure of this? Because he's molding you and making you to what you ought to be. And he allows those things. I'd watch him every once in a while, that potter, and every once in a while as he was bringing that clay and starting to form it, you'd so notice that there was some excess coming off in his hand. And every once in a while, he would keep spinning it, and he'd take his hand and he'd cup it.
And he'd let all that excess build up on his hand, and he'd go like this, and he'd throw it, and he'd get more water, and he'd spin it again. Sometimes some of the excess would drop down to the bottom of the pot. He'd pull a knife out, and he'd hold it to the bottom, and he'd cut that off, and he'd take it and rip it off like that. And listen, folks, you know what he was doing? He was taking away from that lump of clay everything that was preventing it from becoming the vessel he wanted it to be. How about that? John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Watch this. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. God is always going to purge us in order so we can be more fruitful. If we're going to go from a lump of clay to a vessel of honor, then there's some things in the process that God is going to have to take away. And we have to be willing to allow God to do this. In the same way, God will always prune out different things, different qualities, different sins in our life, different habits that don't bring honor and glory to him. Can I ask you a question? What has God been trying to remove from your life that's standing between what you are and what he wants you to be? Don't resist God on this. The pruning is what takes you to greater heights, to greater callings, to allow you to be used on a greater level, to become more of what he wants you to be. Don't resist God in these things. If God is trying to take it, then you don't need it. Don't question the hands of the potter. Then I read this. I saw this and I wrote it down. The potter is the one who determines what kind of vessel the lump of clay is to be. I watched two or three of these videos, and you know what? They all started with basically the same type of a lump of clay. But it was amazing as I watched them what each potter turned that lump of clay into. And you know, one of them turned it into something that was kind of a more of a, I guess, something that you would store grain in. It wasn't as tall, and it held more. It had more volume. And one of the other guy almost did the exact opposite, where he turned this thing into almost like a beautiful vase. And I thought, you know what? That potter looks at that lump of clay, and in his mind, he knows what he wants it to be. In his mind. I mean, in the mind of the potter is the one who takes that clay and turns it into what he wants it to be. And folks, listen to me. Don't frustrate God's perfect will for your life. I don't know better what I ought to be than God knows. You know what? My will is not what's important. God's will's what is important. The potter's the one who determined what kind of vessel the lump of clay was to be. In the same way, God the Father already has our lives perfectly planned out for us. He knows exactly what he wants us to be, the calling of God upon our life, who we should marry in life, how many children we should have, where we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to do. These are decisions that God wants to make in our lives. I read this verse and it seemed to fit so well. Let it challenge you, folks, because come on, the honest truth is it's hard for us to give up the steering wheel of our life and to get in the back seat and let God drive the vehicle. But Ephesians chapter 1, I read this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, speaking of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now listen to verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And you know what? God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. I want to find that. How do you find it? Here it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Just as the piece of clay needs to fully trust the potter to make it into the exact a vessel he wants to make it, in the same way, we need to fully trust the Lord to mold and shape and transform our lives, our personalities, the leading of our life, the direction of our life. Just let him have it. Let him have it and trust him. The last thing I want to give you was this. I watched the potter's hands and I watched his technique. But the last thing I did was I backed up one of the videos and I watched it again. And you know all I watched? I watched the potter's eyes this time. And you know what I saw? That the eyes of the potter and the attention of the potter, from the moment he puts that thing on the center of the wheel, his eyes and his full attention never leaves that lump of clay. Whew, come on. I noticed his eyes was always on the clay once he started to work with it. I mean, he knows if he takes his eyes and attention off the pot as he's shaping and molding, he could make a mistake and damage the pot in the process. But folks, God has never made a mistake. Psalm 17, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. Hide by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. And I love this, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. In the same way, once we come into this full surrender with the Lord, and we just let him take control, and we let him put us where he wants us, and lets him begin to form us. Preacher, what's the trade-off? God will never take his eyes and attention from you. You'll always have his complete and undivided attention. Since he is omnipresent, no respecter of persons, once you're saved, and you allow God to place you in the center of his perfect will, and you allow the water of the word to saturate you, and you trust yourself to the hands of the potter, you can relax in the knowledge that you've become the apple of his eye. His full attention's on you. He's not going to make a mistake. Nothing's going to happen that you don't need. Nothing's going to be taken that's not better for you not to have. And you're in his hands. Amen. You're the center of his attention. What a great place to live your life. Listen to this story and we'll be done. Listen to this story. 2016, the finale, end of the season, last show of America's Got Talent. 14.4 million people tune in, to watch a 12-year-old young lady by the name of Grace Vanderwall walk into the stage to perform one more song. She's down to the final two. What's at stake was $10 million prize money and a chance to be crowned as the winner of that season's competition. The last song that she sang was a song that she wrote herself, and it was entitled, Baby, I'm Not Clay. Baby, I'm Not Clay. Now, I downloaded the words of the song and I read them, and although the song was written, I think, with the intent of sending that message, the message that young people should not allow those who would bully them or diminish them to have power to mold their lives. Watch this. There is still a danger in the premise of the song. When you stand on the stage in front of 14.4 million people and shout out, baby, I'm not clay, and young people are listening to it, they can get the wrong message. All over America, there's one in Linton. There are now billboards with a picture of this young pop star and the two-word message she was trying to convey with that song, and it says two words on these billboards, be yourself. Be yourself. Well, what she was saying, if we'll want to bring this into the Christian realm and tell you the dangers of these messages, is this. Be glad that God grabbed you out of that creek bed, and be glad that he now owns you as his lump of clay. But don't allow him to put you on the wheel. Now, folks, I could take a lump of clay that they begin to use, and if I'd had one, I could have set it right over here on the altar at the beginning of this message. And at the end of the message, you know what? That lump of clay would still be itself. Now, I'm helping our public school kids, because you hear this in the public school all the time. Be yourself, be yourself, be yourself. You study the Bible, you know what it'll teach you? Be like Jesus, be like Jesus, be like Jesus. And there's a lot of people that want just enough Jesus so that they don't go to hell, but then they want to look at the Father and say, I don't trust you to form me. I want to be what I want to be. And as long as you fight against the hands of the potter, that's exactly what he'll do. He'll set you over here and say, then be yourself. On this side, I could have taken a lump of clay and set it here. And in the 40 minutes we've been in here, it would still be exactly what it is. Baby, I'm not clay. You're not going to mold me. You're not going to make me. You're not going to change me. You're not going to shape me. I could also take another clump of clay And if there was a potter's wheel here and a man skilled in pottery, in that same 40 minutes, I could have put that in the center of the wheel and let the hands of the potter begin to form that, and you would have watched a miracle happen. I got to thinking about this young lady, and I don't know a whole lot about her. But if I had a chance to sit down and talk to her, I think I'd say some things. I think I'd say, Grace, you are clay. All of us are. I think I'd say this, Grace, you will be molded. And by the way, follow her career since that night. She is being molded. But she's being conformed to the world, not transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, every single young person that stands up, stomps their feet, looks at mom and dad and says, I just want to go be myself, end up going to a center of another wheel where the devil is conforming them to the image of this world. They're not being themselves. They're being conformed. Everyone's going to be molded. Everyone's going to be changed. Everyone's going to conform to something. I'd say, Grace, you will be molded. All of us are. Just make sure that God is the one that's doing the molding. I think I'd say this, Grace, being yourself and being true to yourself should never be the goal. Letting God form you into what he wants you to be, that's the goal. Being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, that's the goal. I got to thinking, I don't know again a thing about this girl. Can you imagine 14.4 million people tuning in? And she walks out on stage and she looks at the instruments and goes, and not a note is played. And she lifts up her voice and she sings, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, my desire to be like him all through life's journey from earth to glory. My desire to be like him. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't understand. You haven't watched this show enough. I doubt if the heathen humanistic judges would have voted for her to be a winner. I mean, if she went out there and sang that, don't you understand? It would probably have cost her $10 million. She may not have won the approval of the culture or the judges or the humanistic crowd, but I think she would have won something much more important to that. She would have won the approval and admiration of the Heavenly Father. And young people, this world, if you decide you're going to spend your life being like Jesus, they're not going to think that you're really cool. But since when is that the goal? Young people, you have to decide at some point who you're going to spend your life trying to please. You're going to have to decide who you're going to spend your, who you are going to allow to mold you in this life. I beseech you, therefore, my brothers, my sisters, my Christian young people, by the mercies of God, you present your body, your lump of clay, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Trust the potter. By the way, it's your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And ending up in the perfect will of God is worth more than all the gold and silver and millions that this world could ever offer you. 2019, you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to put you in the center of his will. He wants to begin to take his hands. And you know, at times it's going to be seeming like he's trying to push you down, but he's got a plan. He wants to get his hand inside of you and touch every bit of your soul and spirit. He wants to not only begin to form the inside, he wants to form the outside. But folks, listen to me. He'll have to use a lot of water to get it done. And it takes the word of God for you to be molded into what you ought to be. But listen to me. Think about it. You're in his hands. What better place could you be than in his hands? You're the apple of his eye. You've got his full attention. He's making the decisions. He's molding you. He knows what he created you. He started it way back when you were in your mother's womb. He's got a plan. Yield to his plan, and you'll live a blessed life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take this portion of Scripture, Lord. You told to one of your chief prophets, you said to a man that, Lord, had surrendered his will to your life. You told him, I want you to take a trip down to the potter's house. There's some things I want you to see. There's some things I want you to watch. Lord, I wish I could go to the potter's house. Didn't know where to go. I was glad, though, that I was able to sit down and watch some potters this week form the clay. And Lord, at the end of that time, you know, dear God, that my heart's desire and the prayer of my heart became, oh God, please keep me in the center of your will. Lord, help me to saturate myself more with the word of God so that I'll be more moldable and more pliable. Lord, don't let me be lifted up with pride and think that my plan's greater than your plan. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your good hand upon me and your eyes upon me and direct my paths. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to ask you something. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Has there been that time when you've turned and to the Lord and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you allowed God to reach down and take you out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and put you in his hands? Has there been a time when you've become a child of God? And Christians, let me ask you, since that day, have you let God mold you? Have you let God have his way and his will? Hey, have you gotten out of center, out of the center of God's will? I mean, at the beginning of 2019, folks, let's make sure we're exactly where we ought to be with God. Let's let him have his way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay.